On Wednesday night in Flushing Meadows, Andy Roddick's 12-year professional tennis career came to an end. Joining me now for an appreciation of Roddick's accomplishments is Christopher Clary of the New York Times, who's covering the U.S. Open. Christopher, you were at Arthur Ashe Stadium on Wednesday. Describe the scene after Roddick lost to Juan Martín Del Potro in the round of 16.
You know, it wasn't quite equal to the occasion, in my opinion. I mean, Andy Roddick leaving tennis at the U.S. Open is a big occasion for the sport. And it was originally supposed to be a night match on Tuesday, and then because of the rain, which seems to be a second-week U.S. Open staple, the match didn't finish until Wednesday. But there was, you know, it really built to a nice appreciation at the end. And, you know, Roddick, who has never, in my recollection, ever been at a loss for words, actually had a little trouble getting through the speech at the end. And it was a very touching week in many respects, because I think he's created a lot of ambivalence over the years for some reason. Maybe just his edgy style and the fact that he hasn't quite matched up to the achievements of the generation that came before. And I get the feeling that this tournament, people around the country and also around the world to some degree who follow the sport really got behind him and let him know how they felt about him and let him know that he will be missed. And for American tennis, it's a big loss.
In your New York Times article after Roddick's exit, you wrote that he is a champion defined by his work ethic and his wit, as you say, not often at a loss for words. But how did he express those qualities throughout his career?
You know, I got to tell you, Bill, I mean, of all the athletes I've covered, and I've covered a lot of sports the last 25 years, he might be the quickest witted of them all. I mean, he just always had a one-liner, even when you knew he had no way of preparing for it. He thinks fast, he talks fast, he's got a lot of nervous energy, and I think he just, in a lot of ways, he really relished that engagement. I think he was actually better at it sometimes than he was at the matches themselves. I mean, that was one of the things that really defines Andy is that sense of humor. It's not surprising that he's going to do some radio pretty seriously from what I hear now that he's finished, and I think he would make a terrific tennis commentator or even terrific sports commentator, really, because he's got a passion for it and he has that kind of attitude. But really, I think, you know, Andy's a high-strung, high-wire guy, and as he said himself, you know, I might have not always been easy to deal with, but I was never dull, and I would agree with that.
Roddick appeared in 5 Grand Slam singles finals. He won the U.S. Open in 2003. The other 4 times he lost to Roger Federer. His critics have said that he failed to live up to his potential. Would you agree with that?
You know, I'm not sure that I would. I think that he was in a tough era. I'm not sure the era before was any easier. He would have had to play, you know, if he'd been born 10 years earlier against Pete Sampras, Andre Agassi, Jim Courier, Boris Becker, and that gang. So I don't think it was necessarily a question of era. These have been 2 pretty major eras back-to-back. I think it would have been tough for Andy no matter what. I think Andy had some limitations. I don't think he was quite as good a natural athlete or quite as fast as some of the guys he was competing against. I think he had some technical problems on the backhand side. Wasn't a very good volleyer. And another thing that happened to him, I think, he got caught a little bit in a change of technology and a change of playing surface era in the sense that the game really got slowed down a lot in the last 10 years, probably for the spectacle, probably because of the way the rackets and the strings evolved. And Andy is really a power player with that huge serve that he had and that huge forehand, and I think he would have done better in an era when fast courts were more the norm. And the way things evolved, it really began to favor the baseliners, and that hurt him. The only thing I would say about the way he evolved was that he was stubborn at times, and I think he could have maybe changed his tactics and taken some different approaches tactically to the way he played tennis. But as far as the effort, as far as the desire to, you know, try new coaches and really push himself throughout and to give all he had in his matches, I have no quarrel with him at all.
You've also written that Roddick's exit leaves American tennis without a real men's singles star, but are there any potential stars who might ascend in his absence?
Players of his level? I don't see one right now. I don't. I mean, John Isner is 27, has a huge serve in a game that bothers a lot of people. It is not inconceivable that John Isner could put together a great 2 weeks and win a Grand Slam title. Wouldn't shock me. But as far as the consistent level of excellence that Roddick produced, top 10, there's a guy named Ryan Harrison, who's a young American player, just 20 years old, has a lot of talent, a lot of drive. He's one possibility, but there's nobody who seems as obvious as Roddick seemed when Sampras and Courier and Agassi were coming to the ends of their careers.
Christopher Clary covers Grand Slam events for the New York Times. He's also chief sports writer at the International Herald Tribune. Chris, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Hey, Bill, my pleasure.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Trader Joe's, traveling the world to source a variety of foods and beverages like pizza from Italy and cheddar from Australia. Locations at TraderJoe's.com. This is NPR.